A recent study by the curriculum group Amplify found that 1 in 3 children in kindergarten through third grade are in need of intensive interventions to read at grade level by the end of the school year. They say the need is even greater among Black and Hispanic students. Other studies and surveys across the country have found similar problems with young students falling behind in reading since the start of the pandemic. There were concerns about reading levels even before COVID-19, but disruptions in student learning over the last few years seem to have made things worse. Our next guest studies the science of learning and reading and works to bring the latest science into the classroom, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a younger student in school? Are they struggling with reading? Why do you think that is? What questions do you have about how children learn to read? If you're on the teaching end of things, how are things going now in your classroom? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Mark Seidenberg is a cognitive neuroscientist, a professor of psychology at UW-Madison, and the author of the book, Language at the Speed of Sight, How We Read, Why So Many Can't, and What Can Be Done About It. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
How significant are deficiencies, are shortfalls in reading that we're seeing across the country since school closures and the start of COVID-19?
Well, you summarized some of the findings that are starting to come in. In this, as in many other areas, it's not been a good situation. There is a lot of concern over losses in progress and affecting many children, but especially kids who are at risk or struggling before the pandemic. So it depends on the kids' exact circumstances and their different outcomes. But in general, the picture is one where, you know, the people I talk to who are in the classrooms in various parts of the country talk about a catastrophe.
Now, there was worry about this issue about literacy and reading levels among younger students even before COVID-19. What were some of the concerns back in, say, 2019?
Well, the concerns go way back, and they are that reading levels in this country are not as high as they should be, given our resources, and they are particularly low for certain groups. They are low for people who are from poorer backgrounds. They are lower for minority individuals. They are, and they have been for quite some time. So there are kids who we are not reaching, and we haven't been reaching for quite a long time. And there's enormous concern about this, and people trying various strategies for addressing this really serious issue.
As you know, a parent, when I had younger kids, if they were behind on any measure, I of course thought, oh no, you know, they're never going to catch up. There's no way. Sometimes things worked out better, though. Are there ways to catch up when kids start to fall behind at those lower levels?
Yes. I mean, I think the thing to really emphasize is it's been terrible. The situation has not been great for teachers or for children or for parents and other caregivers. Let's face it, it hasn't been great. And that is going to affect children's progress. And when children are just beginning to read and beginning to do arithmetic and beginning to get socialized to school, it's a serious issue. However, they haven't lost the ability to learn. They have not lost the ability to be readers. On the one hand, it's not been good. And on the other hand, the window hasn't closed. What we have to do now is, and what we have to continue to do is figure out the best ways we can to make sure we bring kids up to speed. I'd be a little less concerned about the exact calendar dates. You know, we're all going to have to shift our timetables on these things a little bit because of these external circumstances. But the kids are still able, the kids are learning all the time. It's a question of whether we can give them the experiences that are going to allow them to get to where they need to be.
Talking to cognitive neuroscientist Mark Seidenberg, psychology professor at UW-Madison, author of the book Language at the Speed of Sight. Talking about the impact of COVID-19 on kids' ability to learn how to read, some shortfalls in the K-3 age group, but some hope for catch-up. We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest, maybe your personal experiences as a parent, a student yourself, or a teacher. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Mark, is there a number one priority to do the things you just said, to provide the tools and experiences kids need? Is there one thing that you think across the board could really make a big difference?
I think there are a small number of things. Reading, beginning reading, reading in the elementary grades is really a function of three things. It's the children's spoken language. It's the children's knowledge of the world, the things we used language to talk about. And it's their knowledge of print, how the written code works. Those three things have to come together to support reading. And those are three things that everyone can focus on. You can focus on creating a language-rich environment for your child with a lot of talk, where they do a lot of talking, where there's a lot of talking going back and forth. You can expand their knowledge of different kinds of topics like climate and Mars and planets and dinosaurs and whatever the child is interested in. And then there's the knowledge of the printed code, which requires showing kids that there is this printed code and that it has certain properties and helping them to learn how to use it. So while all these other things are interfering with life, we can still focus on building children's language, building children's knowledge, building children's knowledge of the world and knowledge of print.
We are talking to Mark Seidenberg, cognitive neuroscientist, professor of psychology at UW-Madison, author of the book Language at the Speed of Sight, How We Read, Why So Many Can't, and What Can Be Done About It. We're talking about reading in schools. Younger kids, after learning remotely for so long, seem to have slowed down on their reading acquisition skills. We're talking about solutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest. If you're a parent, have you seen this trouble with your kids? Have you done things at home to try to help? How did online reading education work? Are you seeing some catching up now back in school? If you're a teacher, what are you seeing in your classrooms? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Mark Seidenberg, psychology professor at UW-Madison, a cognitive neuroscientist who studies reading and language development. He's with us today for a look at the pandemic's impact on young students learning to read. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences as a parent, a teacher, a student. How has reading gone during the pandemic, during remote learning, if you did that? Are things picking up now that back to school has happened? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Larissa is with us in Cornell. Larissa, hi.
Hi. My question is that, well, I have a first grader, and my question is that are we kind of pushing more early reading to students who might not be ready for it and that might show in the test results? Versus maybe a Northern European model that might say, okay, we're not going to push reading until they're about 6 years old just because they're not ready for it. I'm just curious if that plays into factors.
Interesting. Larissa, thanks a lot for that call. Are we setting our benchmarks maybe too early, Mark?
I don't think we want to delay. This is a very good question, and it's a sensitive one. On the one hand, we don't want to start too early. You know, some people say pre-K is the new K and K is the new one. I mean, the age at which kids are exposed to reading instruction begins keeps getting younger and younger. That's not really crucial, I think, but waiting is not okay either. I think the timetable is fine. What we have to recognize is that, you know, over that K first grade period, children are not developing at exactly the same pace in every area. And so there are some kids who are ahead or others on reading for whatever circumstances. It may be something it's not for anything that's particularly important and doesn't predict anything about where they'll be in a few years. So the progress does vary among kids who are just doing fine and will become readers over that kindergarten, first grade, second grade period. So on the one hand, we don't want to panic when they're behind as measured at the end of the year. On the other hand, they're going to have to get moving, and you know, the clock doesn't stop ticking. So, you know, moving on so that they're reading and taking more control over reading by the end of grade three, start of grade four is still something that we're hoping for. Now, aiming for it. Now, maybe we're going to have to relax that a little bit more because of the effects of the pandemic.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Michael joins us now in Elroy. Michael, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have an experience to relate to you where my mother, who was born in 1930, myself, who was born in 1952, and my daughter, who was born in 1988, all went to the same school district in southwestern Wisconsin. And my daughter was in third or fourth grade and having terrible trouble learning to read. And I had had the same first grade teacher as my mother had had. The reader that we used was Dick, Jane, Spot, Sally. You'll see Spot Run, Spot Run kind of stuff. And when my daughter was having difficulty learning to read, I called a number that I heard on the radio about whole language versus phonics. And I discovered through that conversation that what my first grade teacher, who was the same teacher as my mother, had taught was phonics, even though she was using the whole language material, Dick, Jane, Spot, you know, that stuff. And I was able to purchase an educational thing that my mother used with my daughter to help her to learn to read better.
And that was a phonics material, Michael?
It was a phonics material.
Gotcha. Michael, thanks for the call. And Mark, Michael is sitting on one of the, for a while, seemed like one of the hugest debates in education, that whole language versus phonics. First of all, could you tell us what phonics is, Mark?
Well, in order to read, the child has to learn how print works. They already know how to speak at the level of a 5 or 6 year old. What they're learning that's new is this new way of representing language, print. Print is a very, you know, it's a code. It has some arbitrary properties. We got certain letters. The letters make certain sounds, and then they combine in certain sorts of ways. That's all stuff that children need to be taught about. Once you learn something about, get those foundational skills that allow you to recognize the words and understand how print works, then you can move on to more advanced things about literacy, you know, using texts for a variety of purposes. The problem was, and I don't want to rehash all the whole arguments, but the problem was some people wanted to skip over that first stage where you really do have to teach the kid about this system. You know, it's not something you just pick up. So whole language was an approach that kind of skipped over that and really went to the good stuff, which is about using language for a variety of purposes, reading various kinds of texts, being able to understand them in a deep way. That is the goal. However, you can't skip over getting the child to the point where they can really, they have those foundational skills to build on. Now, I wouldn't recommend going back to what worked 50 years ago. Those materials aren't culturally relevant, and they weren't perfect. I'm glad that they worked for the caller and his mother, and they worked for me. However, children come from a broad variety of backgrounds. There are different cultures, there are different races and ethnicities, there are people who speak different languages and dialects. We have to accommodate this variability, and those materials did not. So my attitude is children need to get a certain amount of explicit instruction to be able to learn how the code works. They need practice using it. They need feedback so that they can learn from how they're doing. And what we try to do is, in my view, is you get in, you get out, and you move on, right? You just can't skip over it. And a lot of that has gone by the wayside. There isn't enough time to teach it in school. Sometimes schools outsource it. And now with the pandemic, there's been even less instruction in this basic skills stuff. That is something that parents or other care home people in the home can pick up on if there's someone who has the time, who's available, who speaks the language well enough to do this. And if, you know, there are materials out there for free or you can buy, you can do more of that in the home. It's unfortunate that you have to, but now with the pandemic in particular, especially, you kind of have to do that at home to make up for some of the losses. Once you get the kid off the ground, then they can move on to all these other glorious things you can do with texts.
Thanks a lot for sharing your experience with that call. We are talking to Mark Seidenberg from UW-Madison, psychology professor there, looking at reading, how to catch up if there is reading loss or a slow development of reading during the pandemic. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. That talk of Dick, Jane, and Spot, Mark, reminds me, yeah, that wasn't really gripping material for me as a kid. I remember I locked down a lot of my letters on things like baseball cards and Charlie Brown comics. I think sometimes as parents, I got hung up on, oh, this has to be fulfilling educational material, but I did pretty well, you know, with stuff that I found was fun as a kid. Is that important to think about?
It is. It's very important to think about, you know, these basic kind of skills I'm talking about, which is like, you know, how the letters work and how they're printed, how the words are spelled and how the spelling of the word relates to the spoken word that you know and all that stuff. Yeah, that works the same regardless of what you're reading, right? So if you can get the child's interest by using other kinds of whatever materials really fascinate them, great. Motivation is really great. Keeping the child motivated is important. And you know what? When they succeed, that's really motivating. So I think it's not the material so much as opportunities to learn. I mean, learning enough experiences with reading, getting feedback, interacting with an adult over a book, for giving the kid enough of those kinds of experiences so that they can learn what they need to learn to get off the ground.
Let's go back to our callers now. Stacy is with us in Madison. Stacy, hello.
Hi. I'm just calling because I have two children with dyslexia, and so I've spent some time learning about this. But what I'm noticing is that, you know, this is a pre-pandemic thing as far as what you mentioned, that we've been falling behind in reading because some of the phonetic awareness and some of the other things have been skipped. And so I think it's really important to not only couch that in, you know, looking at the pandemic, but also looking at the kind of instruction that we've known for the last 10 years helps every child, whether they have a print disability or not, really learned how to read. And Wisconsin's been leaving all these debates to the local level, where other states like Mississippi, Texas, have been moving ahead and having good results that we can learn from.
Stacey, thanks for the call. Mark, you had mentioned earlier we were having some of these reading concerns even before the pandemic. Do you think that curriculum priority-wise, we should have at the district level, maybe even at the state level, more focus on bringing phonics in at the early levels?
I think we need to take a look at the entire trajectory from before the child reads to skilled reading and advanced reading. So what the child needs at different points in time changes. One of the main concerns about the pandemic is that it's affecting children's development of spoken language before they even get to school. So there's a concern that because the children aren't having enough talk during the day and interacting enough with other kids their age, there are questions about whether their spoken language is on the same timetable as it would otherwise be. We're going to be studying this for a very long time and seeing the effects, watching the effects of this over time as these kids grow up. Now, yes, instruction about how print works and about the relationships between print and speech is a really crucial thing in early reading, and it has been neglected. There is a great deal of attention being focused on this issue right now. There still are debates about it, and it is certainly one of the important elements in becoming a reader. It's not the only thing. It has to be It has its place. It's crucial at a certain point in development. It's the thing that's going to enable the kid to do many of the other more advanced skills. So I do think, yes, we need to make sure that kids get their basic foundational skills taken care of as quickly as possible. And then, and that can't be taken for granted. Parents can't take it for granted that their schools their kids are in are going to take care of these basic skills. They often have to fill in. But that's not the only thing. It's just kind of the prerequisite. And then there are many other things. Kids need to know about the world. They need to know what the books are about. They need to learn about topics of various sorts. So it's not the only thing. So it's necessary. It's just not sufficient.
Thanks, Stacy, for that call. Just in our last few moments, Mark, how hopeful are you that we'll catch up some over what we lost over the pandemic?
I'm pretty hopeful. You know, it's a struggle. We don't know exactly what's happening in the future. It's been really hard on teachers. It's been really hard on parents, and it's been really hard on kids. So look, it's not great, but the children are still learners. And if we can provide them with the right kinds of experiences, whether it's in the home or in the school or in an after school or some other setting, they can catch up. I would worry less about the exact dates because everything kind of got thrown off. I would emphasize that children need enough learning opportunities. Those are talking, those are reading with them, those are giving them the opportunity to read to you. It's really important that the child take control, do the reading with a parent or other literate person working with them. So if kids get enough experiences, they can catch up. They still know how to learn. Their brains have not frozen. It's just a challenging set of circumstances, and it's going to take time and effort. And I'm hopeful. I just think we need to accommodate kids knowing that these external circumstances have had an impact. We got to accommodate that.
Mark, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Mark Seidenberg is a cognitive neuroscientist and professor of psychology at UW-Madison, author of the book Language at the Speed of Sight. He was with us today for a look at children and reading.